Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our Ready to Water This. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you listen for the duration of the program, for we intend to speak only those things from God's holy and divine Word. If any time you have a question about something that we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to spend time studying on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information that's given by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. In a study this morning, we'd like to look at what the Bible says about sin. First of all, we need to see what the Bible gives as a definition for sin. In Romans 14, and verse 23, he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eats not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. In James 4, verse 17, therefore to him that knows to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. 1 John 3 and verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresses the law, for sin is transgression of the law. 1 John 5 verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. And we know from Psalms 119 verse 172 that all thy commandments are righteousness. So from these four passages of Scripture, we are given the definition of sin. Sin is whatsoever that is not of faith. We know from Romans 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So what we can conclude, in all sincerity then, is that whatsoever is not according to the Word of God is sin. Because that's how faith comes, and whatsoever is not our faith is sin. We know, too, that when we know to do good and don't do it, that is sin. And we know that sin is a transgression of the law. That is, we know we're familiar with the word trespass. We're not maybe that familiar with the word transgression. But the idea of transgression is to go beyond. And that's what our word today, trespass, means. We see these signs on fields and on buildings that says no trespassing. So we understand that if we go past that sign, if we go across that fence, if we go through that door of that building that has a sign, no trespassing, that we have gone beyond where we should have been. So it is with God. When we go beyond what God's Word says, we transgress, we trespass, and all transgression is sin. And we saw how that all unrighteousness is sin, and we made sure that we understood, again, according to what the Bible says, what the definition of righteousness is. When we looked at Psalms 119 and saw that in verse 172, that all of God's commandments are righteousness. So, if all unrighteousness is sin, then anything that is not in accordance to the commandments of God is sin. So, it ought to be understood very clearly by the Bible's own definition of the word as to what sin is. Now the question, are we guilty of sin? You know, sin is something you never hear in the media today. And even sadder to say, sin is hardly ever a word that you hear from a pulpit in most churches. Why is that? Well, because sin is not a present thing to talk about. Sin is something that many people do not want to be truthful about, because sin is something that we all are guilty of. We all are guilty. I'm guilty. You're guilty. We are all guilty. In Galatians 3 and verse 22, "For the Scriptures has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe." Now, if we are so stubborn, and if we are being willing to be insistent that we're not of that all who have sinned, then here's a verse that we need to come to terms with, 1 John 1 and verse 8. "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." And there's that passage in Romans 3 and verse 23. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The answer to the question, are we all guilty of sin? Yes, we are all guilty. No one is the exception. If you're accountable for your actions, you have sinned. But then somebody says, okay, we know what sin is. We know you've convinced me now that I'm guilty. What's so terrible about sin? Okay, let's see what the Bible says. One thing the Bible tells us that makes sin so terrible is it separates us from God. In Isaiah 59, verse 2, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." Notice the two things that are mentioned in this passage that results when we sin. God hides his face. God will not hear. That's separation of the ultimate kind. To have God to hide his face from us, to turn his ear so that he will not hear, what other is there that would amount to any kind of a relationship with God? We're separated from God. We're no longer in what we use that word, fellowship with God. So sin is terrible because it separates us from the one, the life person in the world that we need to be separated from. He is our creator. He is the one that sustains our very being. Every blessing that we have and enjoy, whether we recognize it or whether we take it for granted, it comes from him. And so to be separated from God, that makes sin the terrible thing that it is. But then not only that, we look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, and we see another thing that makes sin so terrible. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Sin pays wages, and the wages it pays are terrible. Death. And again, the death that we're talking about here is a spiritual death. It's the same death that God mentioned when he said to Adam and Eve that the day that you eat of the forbidden fruit, you shall surely die. We know that Adam lived on to be some 900 years old. So we know that God was not talking about physical death. The physical death that we're all familiar with, the physical death that we certainly cannot deny because we see it every day. We have obituaries in the paper. We have obituaries on the radio that tells us about people that die. We've had members of our family that have died. So we know that God, when he said that the day that you eat of this forbidden fruit, you shall surely die, that he was not talking about that kind of death. He was talking about the death that we just mentioned earlier in Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, to be separated from God, because that's what death is. The basic definition of death is separation. We know that James talks about in James chapter 2 that the body without the Spirit is dead. We know that when Rebekah died, it said that as her spirit was in departing, she died. So our soul, our spirit, when it leaves this body, then this body is dead, because the spirit has separated from the body. That's what death is. But the death that we're talking about here in Romans 6 and verse 23, and the death that God was talking to Adam and Eve about, that would occur at the day that they ate of the forbidden fruit, was this spiritual separation. It's still a separation, but one is physical. When the spirit separates from the body, the other is a spiritual separation. When we sin and we separate ourselves from God, when it causes God to hide his face, when it causes God to not hear, that we see is the wages of sin. Then too, we know that eternal punishment is another reason that makes death so terrible. In 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. If we do not obey the gospel, which is the means of removing that separation from God, then it will be those that know not God and that obey not the gospel that will receive this punishment with everlasting destruction. Now notice what the passage says. In flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel. Friends, just because we may know God doesn't assure us of escape from this eternal punishment. Many people know God, but yet they still remain in their sin. Because in order for us to have forgiveness of sin, it requires something on our part. We must hear the gospel. That's why it says that they that obey not the gospel. But see, there's more than just hearing the gospel. There's more than just believing the gospel. There is the doing of what the gospel commands. And that is the repenting of our sins, the confessing with our mouth that Christ is the Son of God, and being buried with Christ in baptism for the remission of sins. So that is obeying the gospel. So those that do not know God and those that do not obey the gospel, these will be the one that will be in eternal destruction. Can we not see why sin is so terrible? Why did Jesus have to die on the cross? Well, he died on the cross to redeem us from sin. Galatians 3 and verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, that we may be a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangs on a tree. To redeem us, he became a curse for us. But he did no sin. Peter tells that in 1 Peter 2, verse 22. But he could not become a curse that way in the sense of having committed sin. The only way that he could become a curse was to hang on the tree. And that we see here in Galatians 3 and verse 31, which is a reference to Deuteronomy 21 and verse 23. Closing our study, let's consider 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Friends, we see our time is gone. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbottville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.